In our modern society, we take the ability to reach into our pocket and instantly contact anyone in the world for granted. But all those text messages, emails, social media posts, and voice calls depend on a centralized private network of cellular communication towers. What would you do if that network ever goes down? The Four Lakes Amateur Radio Club has been working on a project called MeshCore that provides a resilient, decentralized, alternative texting technology that works over the public radio spectrum. Jeff Rich is the 2026 Field Day Coordinator for the Four Lakes Amateur Radio Club. He joins us in the studio. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you for having us today.
Also joining us is Chris Eade. Did I pronounce that well? One of the leads for the MeshCore project. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
So give us a quick summary of what MeshCore is. How does it work?
Okay, so MeshCore is, like you said, it is a decentralized set of radios that are run by the community. Most of the repeaters are provided by the community and are solar-powered, battery-powered. They don't rely on the internet or any sort of grid connectivity. They just need to be mounted on a high-up repeater or even eaves or, you know, awnings or something like that on a house.
And how does one interact with this network? Do you need a radio license, and are you sitting in front of a ham radio set somewhere?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely not. This is very different from ham radio. This is a little companion node, that, as they're called, and you just carry this around with you, and it connects to your phone, or there's even dedicated devices that act like an old-school BlackBerry with a little keyboard and little display on it, so you can connect to it from your Android or Apple device or your computer, and you can receive communication. You know, it'll store, you know, thousands of messages. You know, you can do direct messages to other, you know, people on the network.
So anyone you communicate with has to have a similar device and be on the network. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So how many of these repeaters or transmitters or receivers, I guess they're receivers and transmitters, right? How many of them are around in Dane County right now?
So we have grown significantly since winter of last year. And so we're at probably around 60-something repeaters across Dane County. We have coverage across Madison. We can reach from Pine Bluff all the way out to Sun Prairie, down to Stoughton. You can send messages from, you know, downtown out to Middleton, you know, down to McFarland. There's pretty significant coverage, and this is all community-based.
And who owns or operates these devices?
That's the great thing about it. It's owned by no central authority. It's owned by its community. So that's, you know, people like FLARC. We have, you know, made efforts to put up repeaters and, you know, help people do that. We have community members that are just people who've just got interested in, you know, whatever. And that's kind of what we're, you know, showing off at our field day that's coming up at the end of the month here.
Tell us a little bit more about the field day, Jeff.
Yes, field day is June 27th and June 28th. We'll be out at Schumacher Farm Park on Highway 19 in Wanakee. It's a big operating event. It's a 24-hour event where we, as a club, demonstrate our communications ability in the event of a simulated emergency where we have no power, we have no internet, no phone service, no cell service. We will run for 24 hours off-grid and have a full communications center out there operating.
And when you say full communications, what does that mean? I mean, texting, voice calls, and websites?
So we will be operating over the radio, over HF, with other clubs across the country. Last year there was like 4,300 clubs that participated and 32,000 operators. So this is a national event, and we will be using voice, digital, Morse code, for example, as well. That's still very popular. We expect attendance from state, county, and local officials out there, and you'll be able to see various types of antennas that we will set up out at the park to operate.
What's the advantage of Morse code in today's age?
So Morse code is still used a lot because it is a very effective weak signal method to communicate. When you can't communicate with voice because you don't have good coverage or good connectivity with another party, CW, or Morse code, is very good for getting through on weak signal.
And how many people across the world are still fluent in Morse code?
Well, you know, it's really declined over the years, and other digital methods have kind of taken its place, but there are still a lot of people that operate on Morse code. I don't have a number, but it is still a significant communications method.
So turning back to MeshCore, I mean, one of the things that I find interesting about it is that this is a texting medium, right? So you can send text messages over this network.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of the same in terms of Morse code, if you think of it that way. It's a modern Morse code. It uses low power, you know, 900 megahertz. It's unlicensed, so anyone can use it. And it has really good penetration. We have repeaters that are running on, you know, 2,000 milliamp hour batteries at a watt or less. And we can reach across the city. Some of our furthest repeaters go up to like 40 kilometers. And that's on just a little battery with a little tiny microcontroller.
Are there gaps in your network that you're looking to fill?
There are. We are always looking for people to put up repeaters. It's an entry point as low as $20 and as high as $100. The cost of this is very, very low. It's one of those invasive hobbies that you end up with one, two, three. All of a sudden you have, you know, three or four. You're testing this, playing with that. It's a lot of fun.
And how many users out there?
We actually have, I think we've hit over 200-something users in Madison, and we can reach other cities at specific times, you know, weather events and stuff like that. So we've hit Milwaukee. We've received traffic from Chicago. So they're starting to build up significantly.
And what are people talking about or texting about on MeshCore?
That's the great thing about it. People can say everything from, hey, how's it going? We get a lot of people talking about the weather. People, you know, in one of the last, you know, tornado warnings, people were checking in with each other and reporting on locations. We have people that do community-type plannings, people who coordinate, you know, going out and hanging out. It's a lot of community stuff.
And one of the features of this is that it's resilient. What are some of the threats that might take down a centralized cellular network that this kind of system would be resistant to?
That's a great question. So cellular networks are central controlled. You have like major cell phone providers, and your phone has to constantly authenticate, make sure you're paying for the right plan. There's communication infrastructure that has to, you know, go over the traditional phone networks or internet, whereas this is decentralized. The individual radios all communicate in a peer-to-peer fashion. So if you send a message, anybody that's in your radio range gets your message, but then repeaters pick up that message, and then they intelligently repeat it and propagate it to as far as they can.
And so is the goal of this project to sort of provide an emergency backup in case of a disaster for traditional or cellular systems? Or is this an idea that at some point might replace those centralized cellular networks?
So you got to think of this as an augment to the existing communications technologies. It is not purposely designed to be a backup system, but that is a great use case because when everything else fails, if the grid goes down, if the power goes out, the internet's out, you're having intermittent, you know, connectivity issues, this is still up and running. And it's not reliant on a single, you know, central person or companies run it. It's hey, John down the street or this person down at the university, they're running it. So as long as you have at least a few people involved, you're still communicating.
Have there been examples where this kind of system has proved useful in a natural disaster, say?
There are many people that are using it in backup kind of situations. We are in communication with Dane County EOC and City of Madison, some other entities about using it as an augmented kind of system. And one of the things that we really find that it's useful for is it's great for things that untie the other communication platforms. In an emergency, you don't want people communicating on a single channel. You want only important things, you know, you want the airwaves open for critical communication. So this handles administrative functions, check-ins, it handles coordination, long-term messages, it stores, you know, messages, and so you don't have to constantly be looking at a radio. You can, you know, be doing other things.
And if people want to get involved and play around with this, what do they need to do?
The greatest thing to do is come check us out at Field Day or come to the website at w9jz.org. And we have an article on this as well as information on what type of repeaters and what type of equipment you can get, what we're looking for, areas that need more help, you know, as you said, to cover gaps.
Jeff, let's talk a little bit more about Field Day and about sort of amateur radio in general. I mean, I think amateur radio would seem to many people to be an old technology, but we're finding with MeshCore and other things that there's applications that sort of fit into a digital age. Who are the people who participate and the Four Lakes Amateur Radio Club, and what's their motivations?
Well, I think there are people that have been in the amateur radio service for many, many, many years, and there are a lot of newcomers to amateur radio. And I think the main driver in the last few years has been a program called Parks on the Air, and that now has over 84,000 registered operators across the country and around the world.
And what is Parks on the Air?
Parks on the Air is the idea is you take your radio gear, you go to a state park or state wildlife area, you set up a mobile station, and you contact other operators around the world, around the country, and you score points. There's a website that tracks all of this. But husbands and wives are going out together. It's a great way to get out of the house, get out to a park, and operate your radio.
All right. We've been speaking with Jeff Fritsch and Chris Ead of the Four Lakes Amateur Radio Club. For more information, you can go to w9jz.org. Thank you both for joining us on the 8 o'clock
Thank
bus.
You. Thank you.